2, board may review, discuss, and take action on veterinary technician certification application. 2A, Perla Alvarez Tavar. So she did the alternative pathway with the state of California. So she did make a board application to us. However, in order to complete the application the way it was submitted, she doesn't meet the requirements. So I would have to make a motion to deny the submitted application.
So, what's that motion? To
deny the application. So we have a motion to deny the application. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We could go to section 5, number 4. Board may review, discuss, and take action on premises inspections. That's Victoria and Todd.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I need to get one of these here. So the first one is Miranda Veterinary Clinic. Dr. Wingard is the responsible veterinarian. Back in 2022, there was an inspection that resulted in numerous potential violations. The board requested board staff to return. I take it back. It was August of 2023. Todd returned just recently, a few weeks ago. Interestingly, there were still a fair amount of potential violations this time, but most of them were not repeat violations. The ones that were the same from previous inspections were related to expired supplies and expired drugs. Still more than we would want to see, but less than the first time around. And the only other potential violation that remained the same and is actually the same over 3 different inspections is that the controlled drugs were not kept secured when they were not in use. So that's probably the main one of concern on there. So I don't know that I have a strong feeling either way of what to recommend here, because we are seeing improvement, but there still some issues there. So it would be up to the board if you want us to just go back again, or if you want to open a case because of the repeat potential violations related to expired supplies, expired drugs, and controlled drugs not being secured when not in use. Thoughts on that? Just doing that, maybe do another repeat one.
Has the response been the same every time for the last 3? Because they have to reply, right, to the potential violation.
Todd, do you have any thoughts on, how you feel that they will
get
compliant in the future?
I think so. They were very nice when I came in, even though, again, they didn't know I was showing up. So I did show up in an afternoon, and they were very nice, and the doctor was there as well. So the one with the return was in the surgery room is where they keep their drug log or drug box, and that was the one that's unlocked. It's closed, but it's unlocked. And there's nobody in there except for myself, and the manager was in there. But that's the one that's been happening a couple times. And the expired items were normal, except for there was quite a bit of trach tubes that they had. And I found a whole bunch of trach tubes that were expired. So.
But those are tough, because you'll see practices that have reused trach tubes, and there's no expiration date except on the packaging. So, basically, they're out for years, right? Yeah. So that's a little less. And that the locked, the secured, the Controlled Substance Act is not super, super, super specific. Like, some states are really specific, having double locks and all those things. Our state is less specific and defers the Controlled Substance Act. So I guess probably just doing another random one when it's convenient for board staff. But
that sounds good.
No specific timeline, because I think the random is probably going to be the most telling.
Yeah.
So, do we have to make a motion or just direct?
And you can just direct.
Okay, nobody else disagrees.
For this moment, I'm just going to skip B and C and come back to those while Todd looks at those files. Letter D is R 1446 KC Animal Hospital and Pet Resort. So this was another board requested repeat inspection. It was inspected in November 2023 and there were multiple potential violations. Todd recently re-inspected it in late September. So there were three repeat violations, potential violation. One was the cleanliness of the facility. Specifically, both times the surgical table was found to be dirty. The overhead fans and vents in different areas of the hospital were heavily dusty and dirty, so that was a repeat thing. And then expired supplies and expired drugs again. Again, less than the first time. The first time there were many, many expired things over many years. But most recently, expired supplies, there were five different types of things dated from March of 2022 to December 2023 that were still around. There were eight different drugs that were expired from February 22 to looks like May of 2024. But the other potential violations weren't found this time. So again, we've got some improvement. But again, more expired things than we would like to see. And we never want to see surgical tables that are unclean. So we're kind of in the same position as the other one of how we'd like to move forward with this one.
And this one during the inspection, like they weren't in between surgeries, like it was unused surgery suite?
Yeah, it's been a little dirty. I mean, a lot of it's just on the base and everything like that, but they're still not wiping them down. They usually get everything up top pretty high, and I see that a lot on the bases.
Is it a team of really tall people?
Was it dirty? And
no, I don't remember the V being
there.
Dirty on that one. So, because I can pull that out, or I actually look down in there, and that's when I really pull everything up.
Then I would be, I'm less concerned having that piece of information.
Okay.
Because the time of the work is dirty all within it.
So we're getting lower.
We're getting better.
So maybe it's a random.
Okay. We're going to give them one more chance.
Okay.
To get those things right. Okay. Metro Pet Stay and Use is R3530. There's not so bad. It's vacant wells. So there was an inspection in January 2024. It was repeated in early September 2024. Much better before. We don't have any concerns this time. While there were some potential violations the second time around, they weren't repeat ones. And typically, you know, the board is required to give premises a chance to correct something before they take action. So we would only be looking at the repeat ones, which the only repeat one was related to the anesthesia log. And it just looks like it's more about consistency versus not having one at all. So I don't have any concerns moving forward. I don't think this one needs to go on the go back list immediately if the board's okay with that.
I agree.
Just routine inspection.
Just back on the routine list. And then item 4F, R3565 Western Animal Hospital. This was inspected in September 2023 with multiple potential violations. The board requested a go back that occurred in early September. So again, much more improvement. There were two repeat potential violations, which was one, a records one, needing consistency, record heart rate, respiration immediately after anesthesia is administered. So when we say need consistency, I mean, that's our soft way of saying we saw it sometimes in records and sometimes we didn't. So that's pretty common to see, means consistency in something. But they know to do it because they were doing it in some records. And then expired drugs, there was only one expired drug this time. So this would be another one where I feel like they've made a big turnaround from the previous inspection. And I think they're headed on the right track. So I think this could just go back on their routine inspection list. The board's okay with that.
Did me back on the routine.
I'm going to hunt over to Todd to talk about
the PetSmarts. For number C of that PetSmart, I went to my follow-up and I verified their date and time, and they were closed. So, and this is the second time this has happened for this, so I am going to be in touch with the responsible veterinarian because I called to make sure, and it's a follow-up, so I don't set it up with them. So this will be the second time from PetSmart that I had to do that. This one happened to be in Tucson.
At this location?
Yeah.
Okay.
That one. And there was another one, but that was... I'm sorry?
And then, so that one you haven't been able to see. You've gone back twice, and they've been closed.
Yeah, that one I've been back... That was the first... I've been back to two different PetSmarts, and that one I was closed. But both of them have been verified times and dates, and when I show up, it actually shows up on their website and everything that they're open, and business is open, and nobody's there. They just have a little sign there.
On their door, does it say?
No, it just, because you go, there's a little, because you go to their area, there's a little, they put up a little sign that says back tomorrow at 8. But everything says that they're there. So when I verify and I talk to people, I don't go by just what their website says.
I will follow up with them to see.
Yes, because I'll need to go back to that one. And then the number B, I don't have that one in front of me, but that was the follow-up. They actually were there, and it was a lot better than the one before. So when I was looking for the surgery, that's when I was looking, because they were a follow-up for surgery, and they were actually doing surgeries for the last few months, and everything looks great in surgery. So I looked at their logs and everything like that, and I did a full report on that, full inspection. So I don't have that one in front of me, but I know it was only a couple items. It wasn't anything
so
huge.
Just back to routine.
Yeah, I get back to routine on that one.
Okay, so the only one we have at this point that's not following on random or back to normal is C.
C, correct.
And we'll maybe have an update at the next meeting?
I'm going to try to set up a time or go out there again. So... And I'll make sure that I call the day before or the day of as I'm driving and making sure. So.
Materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. The complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. James, can you please give us a brief summary on the case?
On March 4th, 2022, Ruth, a 3-year-old male paint horse, was presented to the respondent for a cryptic and neuter. The respondent was unable to locate the right testicle. While in the abdomen, the horse began to wake and the respondent nicked the horse's bowel. The neuter was abandoned. The horse's abdomen was closed and the horse recovered. Antibiotics were initiated. The horse remained hospitalized at the respondent for treatment and monitoring. On March 5th, the complainant visited the horse and was concerned with his condition. Respondent kept the horse for continued treatment and monitoring. Later that day, the complainant stated that she asked the respondent to refer the horse to a specialist or obtain a consultation, and the respondent became upset and refused to discuss the matter with the specialist. Respondent denies that the complainant requested consultation with a specialist. On March 6th, respondent found the horse deceased in the barn.
Thank you. Dr. Robinson, at this time I'd like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. All right, Dr. Robinson, we'd like to now give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
I've done a lot of cryptorchids in the last 43 years of practice. I've done quite a few of them. This is the only time I absolutely could not find the testicle. So because it was under injectable antibiotics, we decided to wake the horse up. While I was closing, I was suturing, and all of a sudden a piece of bowel came up and I hit it. It then sucked back down into the abdomen, and I grabbed it with my sterile glove, and I did nick the bowel with the needle. We lavaged that piece of bowel with, if I remember right, about 500 cc's of betadine saline. And I put the bowel back in the abdomen and sutured the horse up. And then he woke up. Uneventful. But I did not find the testicle. Because I was worried about peritonitis, we started him on antibiotics. Not one time, never, did she suggest going to a specialist or referring to another clinic. And I would have loved that, so I wouldn't have to spend the whole night up with that horse. The problem with Tucson, there is no specialist, and there is no referral clinic. So I didn't know who to refer it to. But anyway, I gave IV fluids and antibiotics and was up with the horse all night. At 4 o'clock, he started to eat. So I said, oh, great, good, maybe we're getting there. So I went and slept for 2 hours. And when I came out at 6, he was dead. And, nothing has been hidden or anything. I mean, I called her. I hit the bow. We did the horse. Got him up. Got him in a stall. I called her right away, discussing the case. And I told her right away, I hit the bow. I made a mistake. Very unfortunate. Tina was very upset, which is understandable. It's a very beautiful animal. And I don't have any of the paperwork in front of me, so I can't remember what else we said. But there was no specialist to send it to, or like I said prior, or referral, unless we sent it up to Phoenix. But that was, she never once suggested that, never once. She's lying.
Anything else?
I'm sure something will come to my mind, but I cannot think of anything right now. No.
Thank you. So do any board members have any questions for the complaint?
I have a couple. I know that there was a question about, after the spouse passed away, about cremation. Can you describe to me kind of how that conversation went and what you recommended there?
I simply told her there is no place to take him to be cremated. Didn't exist. in Tucson. And I asked her what she wanted me to do. The horse was laying there when she showed up, because I, you know, can't pick up a 1,300-pound horse. He was laying there where he passed.
So did you, that was the extent of it, there's no place to take him, rather than, or was there conversation around why we don't necessarily cremate horses or the challenges associated with it? I'm just looking for a little bit more color on how we explain this to Leo.
I don't remember the conversation word for word by any means, but she wanted her cremated, which I understood that, but there's no place to take him. And I told her that. Maybe I was kind of blunt, but there was no place to take him. So I was trying to figure out what to do with the horse.
And what do you normally do when horses pass away in your care?
Normally, we get a backhoe and bury him. That's the most common thing. Other than that, Tucson Tahoe can come out for about $400, and they take him. They dispose of him.
It looks like March 5th, kind of in that evening, 9 o'clock p.m. time, you noted in the medical record that things were very serious. And at that point in time, did you talk to the owner about how serious the condition was?
I don't remember. I did tell her it was very serious. And, peritonitis. It's a very, very serious thing in a horse. The only thing I can think of is when I nick the bowel sucks back into the abdomen and leaks some fluid or something. Because we flush it pretty well.
And you said she never asked for a referral, but you never recommended referral on a very serious...
There's no place to refer him to.
Well, Phoenix, it's not that far.
Yeah. At that time, he was doing quite well at that time.
Even though the medical record says very serious?
Well, it's a very serious problem. I mean, me hitting the bowel with the needle is very serious.
Yeah. I'm just trying to understand the thought process between a condition that we potentially caused, knowing it's a very serious condition, a horse that is showing clinical signs of not necessarily getting better, and I'm not seeing what action you took there.
Well, I spent the whole night with him, giving him IV fluids, antibiotics, supportive care. I would have gladly referred him to somebody. There was nobody to refer him to.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not understanding that. Like, as a horse owner myself, if somebody told me that my horse needed to go 5 hours away for care, I would have been doing it.
Not one time did she suggest that.
And my question is, did you? As the medical professional, knowing this was a very serious condition, did you say this horse would be better off being cared for in a facility that can monitor more regularly?
No, I did not. I felt confident in my abilities to help the horse.
And then after this happened and the horse got up, there was some commentary in the information we had as to when you wanted to send the pet home. Did you ever talk to her about the horse actually going home, or were you always planning on keeping the horse there to monitor?
Usually when we do a cryptorchid, we keep them overnight to monitor them, make sure they're okay. So that was the plan originally.
And then, so knowing the bowel had been nicked, you kept the horse overnight because you would have done that anyway. So that would put it on the 5th.
I would have kept it over.
Did you talk to her about picking up the horse and taking it home?
I did not discuss when she could come get the horse and take it home. No, I did not.
Okay.
After I hit the bow, it was in the in might need to stay there longer.
Okay.
You know. It was my fault. I take full responsibility for it.
Any more questions? Thank you.
Okay.
Any other board members have questions?
I just have one. Excuse me. You're convinced that it was peritonitis?
Yes.
Do you do anything, not being from the equine world, to confirm that? Abdominocentesis is what probably you would do in a dog.
I did some medical assumption there. I hit the bowel. What's going to happen after that? Possible peritonitis, and he started showing signs of it.
Yeah.
Had an ileus.
Okay.
And I can't remember if he developed a fever or not. I don't remember. I have to look at the
paper. Whether he had a fever or not. And how would that be different from hemorrhage?
Well, hemorrhage is not an infection.
Right. But what if his problem was hemorrhage and not peritonitis?
Well, I guess I don't understand what you're looking at, because there was no hemorrhaging.
While you did the procedure, there was no hemorrhaging.
Correct.
Okay.
And I assume afterwards, too.
There was no hemorrhaging.
I never used one piece of gauze. There was no hemorrhaging.
I have one other question. On the medical record, it looks like the horse came in the morning and there's a partial exam prior to surgery, but I don't see a TPR. Would that have been recorded somewhere else?
No. I mean, a large animal medicine, I'll go to a stable and look at 30 horses. I don't like complete records on them, and I don't examine it fully, every horse that I vaccinate.
No, but one going under cryptorchid organ surgery, do you?
He was a very obvious, very healthy, very well taken care of horse. Passing manure, eating, running around like a stallion would. And in very good flesh, and she took very good care of him. He was in good shape.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Robinson. We will now hear from the complainant, Tina Pisano. Could you please introduce yourself?
My name is Tina Pisano. I'm the owner of Ruth.
And you are the complainant in this case?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. We've read the materials that you've provided. I'm going to go ahead and swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I swear.
Okay. You may go ahead and address the board.
Okay. Well, first I would like to start off by saying I think it's pretty unfair for him to refer to me as, I apologize, I don't remember if he called me a liar or if he said that I'm lying, but he did call me at work when this initially happened, and I work for a dermatologist, a small animal dermatologist. So I'm very familiar with the specialist world. I had had a horse when I was young growing up that did have peritonitis, and I explained to Dr. Robinson that I had experience with peritonitis. I had a relationship with Gilbert Medical Equine Surgical and Specialty Center. My previous horse had been hospitalized there, and so for him to say that conversation never happened is really unfair. We did have that conversation. Dr. Baez heard the whole conversation. She's the doctor that I work with. I believe she submitted a letter. I don't know if you guys received that. But we had a whole conversation about how she had abdominal drains to perform abdominal lavages every day. We did definitely have that conversation, to which he became very upset. And I said, I apologize. I'm not insinuating that you do not know what you're doing. I understand that you have 40 years experience. He told me multiple times. And that I'm not insinuating that, I just want the best possible chances for my horse. I know how serious this is. I've been a vet tech for over 20 years. Small animal, but I understand the basics, to say the least. And so I think that that's really unfair for him to claim that conversation did not happen. I don't believe that my horse was given the best chance to survive this procedure. I took another colt there at the same time, and I was told that his estimate was 300, and the estimate for Groot was 1,200, and I mean, I guess it's wrong of me to assume, but I assumed that the difference in the cost was that Groot would be under general anesthesia, not sedation. He did tell me that in 40 years, there was only one other horse that he could not find the testicle. But the whole surgical procedure was not explained to me. was going to be sedated only during this procedure. And so I guess that's kind of where I'm struggling, is certain anesthetic protocols were not taken to prevent this from happening. And I understand that mistakes happen in surgery. I completely get it, but I don't feel that it was handled correctly afterwards to give him the best shot. So I'm sorry. I understand mistakes happen, and I understand that we are practicing medicine. But when things happen, we need to do what's right by the patient, not by our ego. And I don't feel like that was handled correctly in this case. He told me that he was going to call me at 9 o'clock on the 6th. I've never received a phone call. And so in the back, I don't know that my horse was even checked on overnight. He did not get IV fluids initially after the procedure. He started IV fluids when he started acting sick the night of the 5th. He did not get IV fluids on Monday the 4th, at least according to my knowledge. And he did try to send him home. I do have witnesses for that as well. A friend of mine came with me to pick up the colt that was not crypt orchid, and part of the plan was to send Group home as well. He was going to send him home because I was a technician and I was completely comfortable getting IV injections. He was going to send him home, but when I went to pick him up, my horse was pacing, had not eaten, was pawing the ground and acting colicky, and I refused to take him. I said, this horse is in trouble, he needs medical care, and he needs observation. I did not suggest a specialist at that point. My friend took my other colt home, and I went to work, and that's when the specialist that I worked for said, maybe he needs a specialist, and that is when I called Dr. Robinson and said he needs a specialist, and he said there's none in Tucson. I said, I realize that. I have a relationship with the Gilbert Equine Center, specialty and surgical center. I've had horses hospitalized there before, and that's what I would have liked to have seen done. He told me that he did not have a way to transport my horse to me.
Are you finished with your statement,
Ms. Kasama? Yeah, one more thing. I had a microchip installed in Group, and I did a TPR before he left the house, and his temperature was completely normal. Not that I have medical records to prove it. I understand how that works, but I knew that he was completely normal when he left my house that morning.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions for the complainant?
Yeah, this is Dr. James. I just have a couple questions kind of clarifying the conversation around referral. When you said you had the relationship with Gilbert Medical, did you have a way to transport Group there?
I could have left work and I would have transported him myself had that been taken the way it was meant to be taken, where I was just looking out for my horse and I wasn't trying to hurt anybody's ego. I would have gone and picked him up myself. I have a horse trailer. I have a truck. I transported him to Dr. Robinson. I only live 2 hours from Gilbert. It would not have been a big deal.
And when you talked about this referral and he said no, he felt he had it under control, did you say that you wanted to refer her? I mean, I'm assuming the conversation went something like he said he felt like he had things under control and then you agreed, but is that a bad assumption?
I I don't remember whether I said, I mean, I certainly wasn't demanding that he be transferred. I asked if a transfer would be possible, or at least for him to call the Gilbert Equine and Specialty Center for a consultation to see if there's something that could be done that we weren't already doing. And he became so upset, and he was actually yelling at me on the other end of the line, to the point that Dr. Bayes could hear him yelling at me about how he knew what he was doing and we don't need a specialist, and he just became so upset that I dropped it. I didn't push further, and I guess, I mean, hindsight 2020, I should have. Because look where we are now.
I don't have any additional questions. Anyone else have questions?
This is Dr. Gosley. How much of the conversation did Dr. Bias hear?
Just when she heard me ask for a specialist, because she was the one that suggested it. And then the only part of the conversation that she heard was when he started to yell. She couldn't, I didn't have him on speakerphone. He couldn't hear the whole thing. She could just hear him yelling at me about how he can't believe that I would suggest such a thing because he knows what he's doing. And I tried to explain to him that I wasn't trying to say he didn't know what he was doing. I just wanted to give my horse the best chance possible. So she definitely heard all of my side of the conversation, and she could hear him yelling at me. I don't know what words were actually recognizable when people are yelling. I believe she submitted a letter to you guys explaining what she heard.
Yeah. We have that.
Yeah.
Thank you. You answered my question.
Any other questions?
Okay, thank you for answering our questions. Now, Dr. Robinson, do you have any additional remarks or questions you would like to ask?
It was her horse. She certainly had the right to pick it up and take it to Gilbert if she wanted to. I was all for it, but that was never suggested, so I took care of the horse. My ego had nothing to do with anything whatsoever, nor did I do any yelling or... I was humbled by making a mistake. I did not yell, or maybe I was blunt, or maybe my voice was loud, but no, I did not yell at her, and she certainly had the right to pick the horse up and take it. If she had a good experience with Gilbert, which I've done work with Gilbert Equine up in Gilbert, I've had associations with them for 35, 40 years, and Dr. Allen was there. It'd have been fine with me if she took the horse up there. That would have been fine. She had the right to do so. She never suggested it, and nor did I. Did I yell at her? No, I did not. Absolutely.
Any other questions from board members? Okay, you might step back, Dr. Allen.
Thank you.
This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
So, I mean, this is another tough case because obviously no one intended nor the outcome of this one is just terrible. I respect that Dr. Robinson came here and said,
yeah, I get it.
This was a mistake during surgery. I get it. I think that happens to even the best of surgeons. There are going to be things that happen. What I would say is I am concerned about this piece about referral because owners are not the medical professionals and they're not necessarily the ones that are going to say, okay, I'm making a judgment call, my pet needs referral. They're bringing it up as an option and we're expecting the medical professional to say whether or not they think that this should go. I'm not sure why the doctor wouldn't have said go, because quite honestly, knowing that this was something that I potentially caused during surgery, I would want everything possible to get this pet better. And so I can't really come up with why a doctor would would decline a referral if it was really said, but I also at the same time hear that this owner was talking to him about a case that she'd had before, and like it's in enough detail that I believe the conversation happened. So I mean, I am really concerned about the seeking consular referral, and the point of even just calling and just saying, hey, this is what I have, what do you guys think? I mean, we call specialists all the time, so I don't understand why that wouldn't have been done either. There were some medical record issues. I think the investigative committee had a few more than what I would have put in there. I don't think the concentration one is an issue because of the concentrations of equine medicine. But I do think there isn't a TPR. There's a minimal exam prior to surgery. But I do think that's a concern. And then I think there's, you know, failure to document some of what was provided, like the details of the surgery. It's some of it's in there, but it's and the complications, but it's one-liners. I mean, this is a pretty intense case, and we put the whole medical record in a very short period of space.
Real quick on that, horses under our statutes are considered livestock and don't have to do the TPR in all cases.
I ask it from a standpoint of if I feel a full exam was done. We've got an animal.
I understand,
that's
yeah.
That's cryptorchid. It's going under anesthesia. I think a TPR is a basic thing that can easily be done. I get it in livestock when you're looking at a herd of cattle or something, but I get that, but you're also expected to do a full exam, even an equine, before surgery. Not necessarily the TPR, but an exam. I think that still applies. It doesn't say doesn't apply to livestock.
Results of examination, including temperature, heart rate, respiratory rate, and general condition of the animal, except for livestock and species and situations that make examination of rectal potentially detrimental to the animal or examiner. So, I mean, it exempts livestock. I don't like it.
I don't think that's the color thing. Of that rule, because I think the color is like when you can't actually do an exam,
Madam Chair, board members, that's actually, if you look at H2, when it's within 6 hours before anesthesia is administered or surgery is performed, the animal does need to be examined, including livestock.
I mean, I practiced in equine medicine for a few years, and I will tell you, I had a TPR on every animal that went under surgery.
No, I agree, it's what it is, but I mean, we have to go by what the letter of the law says.
Well, there it is, it's in H2.
But in L1.
But
we can talk about that again later.
Well, H2 is what was in the investigative committee findings, so if you want to refer to what they found.
Or L4, I'm sorry.
Then the other one, you know, there was concern of the investigative committee about dismissing the owner's wishes about cremation. I think what I heard from the doctor is that there isn't really a place that does this. This isn't an easy, applicable thing to small animal. I imagine that the conversation probably was a little more blunt and not as soft as far as, you know, are there other things that we should have done for her to memorialize the pet? But in equine medicine, that may not be normal. I do have concern about the respect to the owner, though. So under that same statute regarding professional communication and yelling at a client, and we have a he said, she said situation here, one saying yes, one saying I didn't ever yell, and we have a statement from another doctor that clearly indicates that there was some unprofessional communication. So I think we'll just all have to decide for ourselves on what happened because it's a there. All right, so those were my biggest concerns. I will summarize them in a motion that in the case of 24-122, we have a violation of 32-22-32 number 12 as it relates to 311-5011 for failure to provide respect to the owner by by professional communication around the referral. I also have 32-22-32-12 as it relates to R311-5013 for failure to seek a consult or a referral in a case of this nature. Related to that, I feel it was the veterinarian's duty to ensure that they knew that referral would have been the best course of action.
I also have 3222-32 number 12 as it relates to R311-502-H2 for failure to perform a full exam prior to anesthesia. And then I have 3222-32-21 as it relates to R311-502-L6 for failure to document the treatment in detail as far as in the medical record.
So I agree with the 1, 2, and 4, but the 3, the full exam one is hard because when you look at the actual statute that we have or that are provided to us, it does say, except as provided in subsection N. That's not referring back to H. Veterinarian shall maintain on the veterinary medical premises for 3 years after all this kind of stuff. Results of examination, including temperature, heart rate, respiratory rate, and general condition of animals, except for livestock. Now, livestock is defined under ARS 3-1201-5-10. If you look back at those, livestock means cattle, equine, sheep, goats, and swine, except feral pigs. So I understand the intent of what you're trying to get at, but I don't know if you can actually hear that unless I'm misinterpreting this statute. I agree, but I don't know if you can. I don't know if that's maybe a legal question or if I'm interpreting that wrong or what.
Do we need an executive session?
Well, okay, so Tracy gave us H2, so if you look at R311-502-H, it says if, we did do general anesthesia, but we did do surgery. If surgery is performed on an animal by a veterinarian, the veterinarian shall ensure that within 6 hours before anesthesia or surgery, the animal is examined and the animal's temperature, heart, and respiratory rate diagnosis and general condition are recorded in the medical record, except for species or situations that make the examination impractical, which we didn't have, or potentially detrimental to the animal or examiner, which we didn't have.
Yeah, so I know, because it's almost like it's conflicting there, because that does give the safety exception, but it doesn't give the livestock
chair,
exception.
Members of the board, and if you look at H1, it does specifically call out that this provision does not apply to livestock, so I believe that each rule would say if it did not apply to livestock.
Which,
She's saying H1 says, calls out specifically it doesn't apply to livestock, but 2, 3, and 4 do not. So she's saying that she would say that it does. So anyway, I made a motion. We can either get a second or not. I don't know.
Could I ask for clarification on one of them?
Sure.
The failure to provide respect, that, did you add the conversation regarding the referral? Because that's not in the IC, it's only about the cremation.
Yeah, I actually took off the cremation because I felt like that's a little bit like the conversation did happen, and I don't think it was really below the standard care. It may not have been as softer as nice as they want, but I felt like it did happen. I think that the failure to provide respect and the communication was really around
the conversation.
The conversation, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
So slightly different than the ICs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second. Well, can we separate this? Not everything at that point. Just based on one, I agree with the others.
Well, let's just see if it passes first.
Okay.
And if it doesn't, we'll break them up.
All right, so I have a motion and a second to find the violations as stated. Want to do roll call?
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
I'm going to say nay, referencing my previous argument. So.
Okay. The board has voted to find a violation. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law, and after doing so, will then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you. We'll go ahead and take a break. How long would it be helpful for you?